Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. The coronavirus crisis has closed schools across the nation. This isn't just a week-long spring break with the kids. We're talking about 3 weeks or even more in some cases. So what do you do to keep your children healthy, educated, and occupied during this really difficult time? Well, joining me to talk about that is Dr. Marilyn Corder with the Howard University Department of Pediatrics. A little bit later, we're going to talk about some innovative ways to keep them occupied and educated. Let's start with health. And don't forget, you can give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Dr. Corder, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Let us first talk about some foundational situations as we refer to making sure our children are healthy. You're inside with your children, whether they are perhaps in elementary school, middle school, or even high school. First things first, what should they not be doing?
Well, I will tell you, the first thing is make sure they are not glued to the television in this crisis time, because they will add to the anxiety. And you want to make sure that they're, when they do watch whatever the news, et cetera, is very limited. I know you want to watch it, parents, but watch it when they're not in the room, when they are asleep, because they are watching you as you're watching the television. So you want to stay as calm, as well as you want to make sure that they do understand whatever the level is of their maturity. So, for example, if you have a 2 or 3 year old who's busy, wants to go to daycare and, you know, with their friends, you just say, you know, what we're going to do now, we're going to play school, and school is over. We're going to do some things that we like to do, and we're going to make sure that we're hand washing for sure, and that we are also, you know, playing things at home that you would do in school, and have them help you decide on what to do each day, because that way, the things that they like to do that are still educational, parents, this is your time to homeschool for a while, that educational, they can then take their minds off of what possibly can be happening and the negatives. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing we want to make sure is that the type of activities that they do, do it within your home, not at other play groups. You know, people, I get calls all day. Can we go to playgroup? Can we go to playgroup? Well, toddlers, first thing they're going to do is share everything from their toys to their bottles, et cetera. And, yes, we can still get in our children coronavirus. It's just that they don't get sick unless they're immunocompromised. But they often go home to the grandparents, the nannies, et cetera, and we want to avoid that. So you want to make sure that they understand what's going on in their level of maturity. And what I tell folks, you know, if they're a child, if they're young, just say we have to stay inside because there's germs outside. And just like we wash the dishes in the dishwasher as well as in the sink, the safety people are washing the streets and washing places in your school so that the bad germs will go away.
Wow, that's really great advice, because the littlest ones with all of that energy often don't have a clue about what's happening.
Right, right. Right.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the older children, those who do have a better understanding of what's happening. What can you do with them, perhaps differently than what you're doing with the younger ones? Let's talk about the ones that are, for example, in the later stages of elementary school and middle school. How do you keep them active? Can they go outside?
Well, we're talking the tweens and the teens,
yeah.
And they are often very smart, and they know a lot more than you know, but you want to sit them down, and you want to let them know this is not the time to share the earbuds, the phones, the beverages that they tend to share, and they want to go out. You know, it's cabin fever for them. So I also tell the parents this is the time for them to catch up on their schoolwork, on the projects, reading, art, singing, even writing a song, and, you know, writing stories. And you can make this as a family project. Can they go outside? Well, yes, limited. They can go in the backyard. They can go in the front yard. They can go for a walk, but they should not go to the malls. Certainly, there are things that are now closed anyway, but if they were open, I would say not going to the movies, not going to, you know, the video game places, because that's where, as we know, the germs can linger for even 6 hours plus on surfaces.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about keeping your children healthy, educated, and occupied during the coronavirus shutdowns. If you have a comment, if you have a question, lines are open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Something just occurred to me, Dr. Corder, particularly when you're talking about teens, where they are very, very close.
Yes.
To their friends. They are physically close with their friends. They're shoulder bumping, and I'm talking about in regular time.
Absolutely.
You know, they're pushing each other around, they're playing around, and the whole 6 feet social distancing, that's got to be really foreign to them.
Absolutely, because in that distance, you could have 12 teens right there in that middle space in general. And they share everything. They share the phones. They share the beverages. They share, you know, whatever they're doing. Of course, they also can be, you know, intimate, and they're not used to not having their friends holding their hands and all of that.
Yeah. Yeah, so you've got to tell them that, but particularly for those teenagers who are of driving age and they want to, you know, hop into this, you know, get into the streets. And you know how it is, and I'm sure this hasn't changed. You've got one with the car and they're, you know, piled in there like a clown car. Do you take the keys from your teenager?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, they're about to even curfew and shut things down, and you have to. And I say that with love, because this is not the time for them to go around different places to visit their friends and put everybody in the car. It has to be supervised. It has to be limited. And they may have one friend, and hopefully that family, that friend is doing exactly what you're teaching at home, hand washing, making sure if they're coughing. You know, this is flu time. This is allergy time. Every third person is coughing and sneezing. And those droplets are actively alive, and unfortunately, with whatever viruses and colds, but with the COVID-19, they're very dangerous. And being in that space and that time can be, if you're vulnerable, being there makes you vulnerable. You can have a problem and be a carrier.
One of the biggest issues, and we've been discussing this even since late last week, when some of these executive orders came down from governor's offices. How can you give your children the right message when the parents aren't following the right message and recommendations?
I know. Well, you know, I hate to say do as I say, not as I do, but let's do right. Let's do
everybody.
Right, parents. You know, this is the time to clean up and you know, write the stories and do the things that sometimes we say we don't have time. This is your family time. Stay in. Do what you know you need to do. Stay calm, as well as make projects. You know, this is the time to, you know, paint that door or do things that are special. Do the spring cleaning. Go out and plant the flowers. And, you know, just remember the times when we didn't have all the activities outside of the house that we now do. Learn to cook. And those parents learn to cook who don't know how to cook, and teach your children how to cook.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about keeping your children healthy, occupied, and educated during the coronavirus shutdowns. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call right now. Lines are open. Can you talk to me a little bit, Dr. Corder, about cleaning your home? What should you use? How should you do it when you are trying to disinfect and keep it virus free?
Yes. So you want to wipe down your surfaces. You want to make sure the bathroom, the fixtures, the tub, the shower, and you want to demold. As you're cleaning, of course, bleach. I'm going to tell you, bleach has always been wonders. You dilute it some, but bleaching down and getting the different Lysol for the germs, for the viruses, as well as disinfecting. It is very important to do that, to do your railings, to do your, like I said, the doorknobs, the tables, the things that often you touch, the closet doors, handles, and you want them, your family members, to do the same. You want to have tissues, different places where they are, such as your Kleenexes, and always have your toilet paper. Sometimes it sounds like some places are getting a little short of that, but have everything that you need and the hand sanitizers. And I remember when there was no such thing, but there are now hand sanitizers. So you want to use that as frequent as you can to keep those germs away. But let's talk about the basics. Washing your hands with soap, sudsing your hands, 20 to 30 seconds. Sing a song. You know, have everyone do the hand washing and do the, you know, sing songs with it and make sure you're counting and do it thoroughly and teach the children as well as some grown-ups how to wash their hands to get all the surfaces, get in between the fingers.
Speaking of soap, and this is for, and this is particularly the case because there are all kinds of soap out there, from your Doves and your Ivories to, you know, the fancy soaps that we see in stores. Are all soaps created equal?
I knew you'd ask that. You know, basic soaps, even the dollar store soap, if it's sudsy and it's soap and you wash it for 20 to 30 minutes, yes.
You mean seconds.
We know about the Dial antibacterial, but this is a virus.
Right.
So good regular soap, you don't need to go to the super expensive ones, but you need to hand wash and you need to hand sanitize. And that's important.
You said antibacterial soap, but this is a virus. What's the difference?
Right. Well, you know, I'll say this. While you're washing, you want to make sure you're sudsing up for the bacteria, too, because there are tons of bacteria around. So you want to protect suds and soap from the environment, and the regular viruses can still come off when you have suds. So you want to de-virus your hands as well as de-bacteria your hands.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about keeping your children healthy, keeping them occupied, and keeping them educated during the shutdown. Also, if you are in the midst of finding creative ways to keep your children from going stir crazy during these weeks off, we would love to hear from you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Now, here's the other thing, Dr. Corder. We've seen cases where we've heard the reports that the youngest in our community can possibly be carriers.
That's correct.
But have no symptoms, never present anything remotely related to this. So are we now at a point where we have to keep our, my goodness, just the thought of it just
keep them away.
To keep them away from our beloved, you know, grandparents and older uncles and aunts.
Well, you know, I have this ongoing joke. Sometimes those little ones are weapons of mass destruction. They will carry the virus, and they may not be so sick, but yet they have been exposed. So, yes, you want to protect even from that 2-year-old, 3-year-old toddler that you really want to hug, but you have to keep the distance, especially when they have the colds, the coughing, and the sneezing. And I also want to mention, before we run out of time, there are children who have compromising conditions, such as sickle cell patients, such as diabetics, such as asthmatics. So they are already compromised, especially in their lungs. So, you know, we say children are not so affected, but we are seeing very sick children beginning to get COVID-19 exposure, that we have to make sure that we understand what those vulnerable conditions can turn into when the exposure is there.
Let me quickly take a phone call. Momo calling from Laurel. Be quick, please. What's on your mind?
I was just wondering, what should we tell our children? Because some children are fearful. What should we really tell them to calm their fear?
Okay, go right ahead, doctor. I've got about 20 seconds.
Absolutely. So you want to let them know that this is a virus, it's a germ, and that we want them to understand that what we're going to do to fight it is we stand inside, all is fine, we're going to hand wash, we're going to make sure that they're safe inside because we're cutting down on the frequency of people getting sick. And as I said before, don't get so anxious in front of them. And you can say, this too is okay. There have been times when this has happened, and everything is calm afterwards. And just give them a hug and say they're safe, they're at home, they'll be fine.
One more thing, Dr. Corder, before I let you go and take a break. Thank you, Momo, by the way. What about families? Should families, even in the same house, should husband and wife start sleeping in the next separate bedrooms? What's the deal with that?
Well, you know, some people who are quarantined and self-quarantined, and they're in separate rooms. They're waving at each other. They're not drinking behind each other. So it all depends on how they feel clinically. Now, of course, we know you can be asymptomatic and still be a carrier. So understand your exposure, the job site, the hospital, et cetera, and have that maturity about you. Hey, I'm feeling a little funny. Fever a little bit. I've called my PCP, primary care. I'm going to stay in the room on the other side of the house until I'm clear as to what's going on.
Okay. I really appreciate that. Dr. Marilyn Corder, thank you so much for sharing with us. We're going to continue this conversation, trying to figure out what we can do to keep our children occupied. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tanya calling from Silver Spring. Stay with me. We're going to talk to you next. We've got more phone calls and more information, so stay with us. The Daily Drum continues on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Angela Stribling is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This discussion continues on Sirius XM Channel 141 in about 15 seconds. Stay with us. Your calls are next.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about keeping your children healthy, occupied, and educated during the coronavirus shutdowns of schools. Joining me now is Catherine Procope. She is the head of school for Howard University's Middle School of Math and Science. Lines are open. We want to hear from you as well. What are you doing to try to keep your children occupied, keeping them healthy and safe, and keeping them from going stir crazy, as well as yourself? I'm sure you're probably sitting in there with your kids and you're just wondering, ooh, when is this going to end? Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. And by the way, if you're having difficulty getting through, please keep trying. I promise I will take your phone calls. Hey, Catherine, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing okay. What are you hearing from parents and your circle of friends with young children?
Well, parents are nervous, absolutely, because right now, at least in D.C., this is spring break. So the first week the District of Columbia decided it would be spring break, but that's not the same for charter schools. And on Tuesday, next week, school is going to start back. So what do we do? And one of the beauties of this is the teachers and the administrators and all the schools across our area have been preparing for distance learning. I need to give a small shout out to the teachers at our school because they've done a phenomenal job at this. And so what's on every single school website, there are resources available for distance learning. Schools are providing packets for children to take home, and all that's great. And then the parent says, how do we do this?
Yeah, absolutely.
So one of the things that we did, and we told our parents and we provided this guidance, is schedule the day. Because if you don't have a routine set up, the child will be all over the place and it'll be really difficult to manage the day, and it'll feel like it's out of control. So treat it just like a regular school day. You get up, child has breakfast, and start the lessons. In most of the instances, teachers and schools have provided some really detailed guidance as to how the students need to get on, how to do their math, some reading, and time the day. Don't plan for a whole school day at home, because that's really not reasonable, because just like Dr. Corder said, the child is home by themselves or they're home with siblings. So maybe half of the day is totally educational, and then have lunch. Then the rest of the day, give them some brain breaks, some other fun things to do, but make sure that the day is structured. Write out a schedule on the refrigerator, something so that the child gets up and they recognize, okay, this is just not vacation, I'm actually going to school. Wow. And that'll help the parents deal with having them home all day.
That's a great idea. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tanya calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for hanging on, Tanya. What's on your mind?
Hi, good evening to everyone.
Hi.
I am an educator. I've been in this field of early child education for 38, 39 years. And I have an eighth grader in Montgomery County Public Schools. One of the things that I'm doing with him is we're creating something called a time capsule journal. So we've gotten a little book, notebook. We're writing in things that are happening right now with the coronavirus, all the news conferences. We're clipping articles, pasting them in the book, just coloring pictures and things like that. And we're going to put it in a time capsule. And I told my son one of these days we'll take it out of the time capsule when he has his children and so forth. And it's just sort of a document of history. The other thing I wanted to mention was for parents with young children, like preschool age, who are able to understand maybe like a picture book, there's a resource called thebookvine.com. They have lots of books in there regarding hand washing and self-care for young children. So it might be an idea for parents who are looking for literature or resources to help their young children to understand what's going on or to follow certain practices. They can get books. It's called thebookvine.com.
Okay. Tanya, thank you so much for that. That really is a great idea, because it not only promotes learning now, but I would argue that, you know, down the road, it's going to, you know, promote a little bit of family togetherness when you pull it out at Thanksgiving or something like that, long after all of this craziness is over. So I think that's really a great idea. Tanya, thank you so much. I appreciate that. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Carol calling from Arlington. What's on your mind?
Hi. Mr. Fisher. I operate the Parenting 411, and it's a portal through which I work with parents. My children are a little older, but what I have been encountering with parents is they're concerned not only about how to keep their children engaged while they're trying to work at home, but also trying to keep them off of electronics as well, like to not make it a day where they just laze around on their electronics all day. And so I like the ideas that your previous caller suggested, especially about scheduling the day and making sure that you incorporate some fun offline activities during the day. So this can be a great time to pull out the old games, crafts, books, and other things that you and your children haven't been engaging with in a long time because you've been so busy doing other extracurriculars. But pull those out. Give them an opportunity to rediscover some of their old passions. And it's also a very good time, if you are home with your children or if there's a caregiver perhaps, for them to learn new skills, life skills, such as cooking, fixing things. For
patience. Patience.
I'm sorry?
Patience. Patience.
Well, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, because absolutely. you're definitely going to need a lot of that. And to that point, even outside of the formal learning, like you're saying, Carol, those life skills are so important, such as, hey, how about let's have, you know, a conversation instead of, as you suggested, they might be buried in their electronics, their smartphones and the like. And I think that all of those things are wonderful suggestions. So thank you so much for sharing with us. Catherine, what do you think about that?
That's really key, thinking about older children and electronics. There are several tools out there because when left to their own devices, our young people don't always make the best choices. And so we want to keep them safe while they're home. It got smartphones and tablets and computers. And parents, please, if you haven't implemented parental controls, please implement them quickly and immediately. And they're available at whatever your cell phone or your online carrier are, to make sure that our children are making good choices. Because one of the things that it's not realistic to think that they're not going to be on technology, because most of our schools have provided their distance learning resources online. Even the DC library has a Go Digital space since they've been closed. And so you want the children to use the technology responsibly, but we have to put some controls in place to make sure that they can make good choices.
One of the things that is a really difficult nut to crack, I think, even when schools are open, depending on age of the parents, level of education, there's a lot of stuff that parents just can't help their kids with.
Mm-hmm.
I've been hearing about the new math since I was a kid, and I'm sure that has not changed. But when everyone is doing this distance learning, what does that mean for the teachers who are trying to help? How does that work?
Well, I can speak definitely for us. What we've done in structuring that day, our teachers have taken to the air. So they are making themselves available via conference calls, using Zoom technology so that they can actually, so their students can actually see them. So the teachers are home too. And so what parents should do also is ask the teacher, is there some way that you can spend some time actually having a conversation with my child? freeconferencecall.com. The child calls in, the teacher is there answering questions based on the work that's there. And I'm really so proud of our teachers, because that's exactly what happened today. Our students logged in, they called the teachers, teachers had conversations with students, and were able to provide that instruction. So now when that's not there, there's so many online teaching sites that provide some resources for students. They're not perfect, but they're a beginning if the teacher is not there available. Khan Academy, they just go on and on. So there are resources out there for the students, but of course the teacher is always the best person. And so what parents should absolutely do is contact the school. Is there a way for my child to speak to their teacher during this time frame?
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about making sure your children stay healthy, occupied, and well-educated during coronavirus shutdowns of school systems. Something else we've heard a lot about over the past week or so is that not everyone has access to the internet, and this has become abundantly clear when school administrators talk about households where the children are on free or reduced lunch. And while there may be booklets and other bits of information regarding the educational process for the children, considering what you and I just talked about, if the child has no access to the internet at home, how do they talk to the teacher? Or do they, or are they kind of just treading water right now?
And I think that's going to continue to be a challenge. The Deputy Mayor of Education in D.C. Has had calls for school leaders all since the shutdown, and that's been one of the issues that is the most difficult to attack. And so you're in a situation where this social distancing is what we're supposed to be practicing, and yet we have our most vulnerable children who don't have access to the internet, but yet we're supposed to stay away from them. So it's really it's a challenge that I don't know that we even have an answer for. What we've been trying to do is, because, you know, doing that 10 or more, actually going and seeing if we know who our children are, and if one teacher is willing to go and just make sure that child is okay, or a counselor is willing to go. We have those people in our community, and they're actually doing that. Are they putting themselves at risk? Potentially. But they care about the children, and that's why it's happening. So, unfortunately, we're always going to have that more vulnerable piece of our community that we're still trying to figure out how to make that happen. But the good news is it's a smaller number than people think. One of the other great things is, I think it's been kind of everywhere, that Comcast was providing free access. There are other venues that are providing hotspots. Someone told me that someone had actually outfitted a bus with Wi-Fi and was driving into neighborhoods somewhere in the country. So people are finding ways to combat this particular issue.
Now, here's the other thing. As we know, there are many jobs for the adults that have shut down or modified. But in this particular area, for example, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser said approximately 53% of the D.C. government workforce is telecommuting. But what about the other 47%, or the federal federal government workers who may be essential, kind of essential, semi-essential, and they have to report to work and their children are at home? How do you monitor that? Whether it's, you know, young children, for example, you may have a 12-year-old who or 13-year-old who's able to stay home. Okay. But is this the same kind of thing that they do when school is just is in session, where you know, they go in, they come back, and you need to find out what they've been doing during the day? Are there other kinds of ways that they need to monitor what their children are doing regarding their education?
And I think one of the things that goes back to that structured day. So if you have to go to work and your child is at home, you have that same structured day. They get up as if they're going to school. They have a time frame that they need to contact you and say, "Mommy, I just finished my math," or, "Mom, I'm getting ready to work on my English today." and parent, just put those same structured times in your day that you're contacting them back, checking to see how they're doing and making sure they're okay. Because, unfortunately, that is a very, very real situation. And for parents to know that their child is safe, part of that schedule in that day is daily check-ins. And like Dr. Corder said, making sure they're not, like, running outside playing with their friends, because that totally goes against the social distancing. And so from an employer perspective, making sure the employer knows that, you know, my child is home, so I'm going to have to check in with them at various times of the day just to make sure that they're okay.
Talk to me about that structuring, not of the day, but of the week, because it would appear to me that because the children are not in school, but they are at home, that this is not that, what, 8 to 3 o'clock, going from class to class kind of situation. Right. So help me here, are we doing English and reading and literature on Monday? Are we doing math on Tuesday? What does a week look like, or should a week look like?
Well, that's what we did, because like you said, it's not a regular school day, and in some instances, children are being asked to monitor their own learning if the adult is not home. And so saying, okay, from 8 to 10, you're doing math, and 10 to 11, you're doing English, that's not going to happen. And so it's easier, and what we did at our school is we isolated different days for different activities, so, or different content. So Monday was math, and Tuesday was English, and, you know, Wednesday was science and social studies, or something like that, to break it up for the child. So this way, it's, if they're having to focus and concentrate on it themselves, it's a lot easier if you break it up that way during the week. And if, and considering the packets that, and the work packets that have been sent home by some schools, if the child is being asked to do all of that in one day, it's going to be really overwhelming, and the likelihood that they're going to do it is really small. So if the school hasn't structured the day and the parent does instead, they can set those days. And just like the example that the caller had, as in the time capsule that she was doing with her child, that could be another day. This is a day of our fun and creative activities. And so they can see what the week looks like. Hopefully this ends in the next couple of weeks, but in case it doesn't, we have to prepare and structure the days so that it's not overwhelming for the child and something that they feel successful at the end of, and not overwhelmed.
What about some really foundational stuff, such as reading? Because my fear is that it's not the students, the children, that are going to have difficulty dealing with this. This may be something that the parents may be reticent to push their children to do. So how do you deal with convincing the parent that just because your children are at home doesn't mean that they don't need to do something, including, for example, reading?
Well, what I found, all parents want their children to be successful. And I don't think that it is going to be a difficult push for any parent for you to say to them, we need your child to not be at home just doing nothing. This is about their education and their success, and the parent's going to nod their head and say yes. Every parent that brings a child to the school brings that child to school with the thought process that my baby is going to be successful. When it comes to reading, the best thing to do is read something that you like. Pick things that children absolutely like, find stuff that they enjoy, and you'll be surprised at how much they'll try and read. And then again, like you said, what we're talking about before, section that day or section the week so that this little, you know, can be a stop, drop, and read like we've done in schools. Okay, it's 2 o'clock. You've got 20 minutes of reading. And this way they know it's part of their schedule, and they'll definitely do it.
Stop, drop, and read. That's interesting. I've never heard of that. That's fascinating. But, you know, my baby's 21.
Oh, well, definitely. So what happens with stop, drop, and read, in it will be a time frame in the school day where every single person in the school, from the person at the front desk, the custodial staff, everybody stops whatever they're doing, and they read for whatever the time frame the school decides. And so as a parent, if you decide a stop, drop, and read time, if you're at work and you make that deal with your child, say, hey, you know, 2 o'clock is going to be our stop, drop, and read. This is what I'm going to be reading, so we can talk about it when I get home.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, because with my daughter, it's more like stop, drop, and don't read, because she's here at Howard, and that's all that's what she does from the time she gets up. So maybe she gets 20 minutes from 2 to 2:20 not to read or not to write. We've been talking a lot about education, but I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about some of the creative downtime things to do. Any suggestions?
Well, there's lots. So one of the things that we've done, this is actually, it's online, it's called Go Noodle and Brain Break. So there's silly little videos where you're dancing and doing some other things, but it's just something, one, to give your kids a break, helping them to just kind of shake their heads around a little. I love the time capsule idea. We've got a lot of artists, and we've got kids who want to learn to code. So what a great time to be able to do something like that. Maybe with their friends who are also home, because this social distancing is going to definitely kind of spike up the social media deal. How about having some book clubs? So pick a cool book that especially for girls. Girls will love doing those kinds of book club readings, and then they can get together and talk about it. We've had some kids who are learning to sew during the time that they're home. I had another group that were starting their own business. So thinking of some other ways that they can become entrepreneurs while they're at home. So just one of the things, just asking your child, what are you passionate about, and how can we turn this into some fun thing that you're doing while you're home?
Mm-hmm. Now, talk to me a little bit about, we've seen a lot of college students being forced to come home because of this, and they're going to be home for quite some time. What do you suggest for them being inside?
There are so many courses that are available for free online, offered by every single university in the country, pretty much in the world. Schedule yourself to take a college course, something that you may have been enrolled in or may not be enrolled in, something you were interested in, and actually go through and continue your education. The fact that you're home doesn't mean, you know, sitting home and eating mom and dad out of house and home. It means to continue to learn, because I think that would be the best thing. The other thing is learn a language. There's so many other ways, so many ways to go online and learn a new language while you're home. Figure out other ways to connect with your peers. Maybe learn a class, take a class together. So, but really think about the fact that I would probably still be in college had my college not closed. So what would I be doing? So I have a class Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Let me take a class Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. But for parents, just reminding them they're not just home. They're still in school. So continue to learn. Mm.
In the few minutes I have left, let's talk about the parents and what they can do while they are expending all of this energy or extra energy, creative energy on their children. What can they do not to go stir crazy while they are at home? and I'm not talking about going to the wine cabinet, mind you.
No,
nothing like that. But what?
Absolutely.
What do you suggest?
Well, parents, breathe, because if you're home with your child, this was not what you had planned. I laugh because my son is home with his three sons, and he works from home, and he has to structure his day because he still has to work. And be patient, because they will get cabin fever the same as you do. And find some time to do something silly together. So those silly brain breaks, do some creative things together, find some time, use it as a time to spend with them that you probably wouldn't ordinarily have had. If you have to go to work and they're at home, schedule moments during the day where you're checking in and chatting, seeing what they're doing. And always, if they're doing some distance learning, at the end of the day, ask the question, what did you learn new today? So that they'll actually be able to think about and see that they're actually making progress during the day. And on top of that, that you care. And so, but mostly, take a deep breath. Because it can be really interesting because you're home with them and they're missing their friends and they want to be in school and they can't go outside and they're going to be unhappy at some points. But just understand that they are still children.
Yeah.
And they are your children. And you're going to help see them through it, and this is not going to be forever.
Yes, indeed. And let us hope that when we come out on the other side that we will all... Yes, I'll be better for it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, and if you only get C's during this time, you have to blame the parents, right? I'm kidding.
There you go.
Right? Oh my goodness, Catherine Prokope, I want to thank you so much for sharing your great bit of information and your wonderful sense of humor, because I think
we are
going to need it. Also, we want to thank Dr. Marilyn Corder for sharing tips to help keep our children healthy during this difficult time. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, March 17th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now you can stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.